Welcome, everybody. I kept thinking, I forgot Rachel's not here. I'm like, I want to start, but we're good. Okay, welcome to our health and wellness meeting tonight. First item of business, let's go over. Anyone have a chance to look at the minutes to see if we need to change anything? I didn't see anything on there. Okay. If we don't have any things we need to fix, can we make a motion to approve the minutes from, when was it?
June 12th.
I almost, okay, make a motion, thank you. Second. There's only a few of us now, so there's only four of us. Okay, thank you. So let's, we have a couple of visitors, so let's kind of jump around here. You've been here before, haven't you? Maybe not. Do you want to be first?
She's on the agenda, so.
Oh, you're from.
She's Daniel Kaiser.
Okay, perfect. You're the, got you. Okay, well then let's move to Mason. You want to come introduce yourself and see if you want to join our gang? Yeah. Come on up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just press the microphone. So the button's on, green, yeah.
Hi, I'm Mason Bennett. I'm going to be joining you guys pretty soon. What do you want to know about me?
Tell us about yourself. Tell us what your favorite meal is.
My favorite meal, my wife makes a really good Cajun chicken with like creamy chicken. And it's really, really good. Yeah, I'd have to say that with noodles. Right. And yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Nice.
We just moved here from Georgia, I guess almost a year ago now. I was going to medical school there. I was in my fourth year, but we had some health issues with my mother-in-law, so we had to move here and help out. And so I was able to pivot that to a master's degree in health sciences, and so I've been working on that, doing research on opioids and their effect on memory and cognition and public health initiatives to help mitigate those issues. I've got a long history with healthcare, and I was here and wanted to help out, and looked this up and applied about a year ago and got a phone call a month or so ago to come show up here. So yeah.
Very cool. I'm interested to hear. So I work in substance abuse. And
oh, great.
And yeah, I would love to learn more about your research. That
yeah,
sounds
yeah.
interesting.
Definitely. And no one wants to talk to me about it. So
I'll talk to you all day about that.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, this group wants to talk to you.
That is my life every single day.
That's so great. Yeah. See, I know I find my people here. One reason why I wanted to be here. Yeah.
Very cool.
In later agenda items, as we talk about things, if you have something to add, please feel free to raise your hand and chime in, because we've got some agenda items that may really pertain to you. So,
great. Any questions? Do you know much about this? I guess Lisa was
just a little bit. I was going to come and kind of be a fly on the wall. I'm not really officially part of the group yet, so I was going to kind of observe and see what goes on. And yeah. Maybe I'll come up and ask if I have any burning questions afterwards.
Yeah, please do. I mean,
well, you can't vote until you're sworn in, but you mm-hmm. certainly can express an opinion.
Okay, thank you.
And give feedback.
Appreciate that. She'll let my wife know.
So where do you live in North Salt Lake?
Up on Fairway Drive.
Oh, you're not far from me. I'm up on Fox Hill Drive.
Okay, yeah, pretty yeah. close, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the schedule is that Mason will be appointed by the city council next okay. week.
Great.
We don't expect any opposition to, we don't really have opposition to our appointments, but this would be council member Lisa Baskin's appointment, because she appointed Rachel. And so I'll report on that to the committee. We'll let you know.
So happens, welcome, and next time you come, bring that dish.
Yeah, we'll have a name tag for you. You can sit up here.
Sounds great. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mason.
Okay, great. Do you want to move to you? Do you want to come up?
Up to you?
Yeah.
I guess I understand that you want to talk about your goals first before.
Okay. No, that's fine. I just didn't know. Sometimes people come and they need to get out of here, so I always try. Okay, cool. Okay, great. Okay. Okay, well, let's move to
that's me.
Number three. I know when I come to these other side over there, I want to be first, so I'm always trying. Okay, let's move to our discussion about our goals and assignments for 2023. It looks like we got some great things that Ken made us. You're always so good with the handouts. I appreciate it.
It was Wendy also assisted on this spreadsheet, which is the one-page summary, which I think is a great way. And I think that you were all sent a Dropbox link to this document. So mm-hmm. if you need to make changes to it, you can add things to it or updates or whatever. I didn't do anything in particular for this meeting, only to provide you with that summary sheet. And then this four-page document, which should have been a two-page document, but I didn't do the two-sided feature very well on the paper. But this was a presentation, if you remember, that Corey made to the city council for the annual update for the committee, and that was a really good presentation that he made, but it also included the goals. And so we walked the city council through the goals, and so it's just a good summary document. And I wanted to share it with you just to make sure you knew what exactly what Corey had presented to the city council. But those two documents really, I think, fulfill the assignment that I think you asked about last time. Which
yeah, because I know this item kind of came out. We were talking last time. Let's make sure we're focused on what we are doing, right? Because mm-hmm. we've got so many things that we had ideas and everything. And actually, after I left last time, and then when Rachel had to resign, I was kind of thinking, okay, what have we done and what do we need to do? Because we've had this conversation before, but we started like all these great ideas, we're going to save the world, and now we've kind of got it down into some things. And I think last time you were saying, which I loved, where we kind of need to measure what we're doing, because we can't just be up here meeting. I mean, I love hanging out with you guys once a month, but it needs to matter, right? So I don't know. I actually wanted to ask first, prompted me last time, what you guys think, how we've been doing in the past, how long has it been, 18 months?
Yeah, it's 18
about
months.
About 18 months uh-huh. or so is what I thought. Yeah, so I first wanted to ask your guys' opinion, kind of see where it's at, and what do you guys think?
So I can jump in, if that's all
right. Yeah, please.
Look, I think we did something really great last year, which was to get focused and identify goals and goals that we could accomplish. I think we're 6 months into this year, and it's just a really good opportunity, as anyone or any program with goals has, to check in, make sure that I think I see 8 goals listed here on this paper. Are they still the goals that we have at this point? Were they adjusted at all? And then how are we doing on them? And if I can't say for other people, but for myself, I could really honestly just use a refresher of what the goals were and where we're at.
Sure.
So that I know kind of where I or the committee can help focus for the next 6 months. I don't mean to be too rigid here, but to me, it's just really helpful. I don't have the memory retention that I used to when I was younger.
Right. I struggle with that too. Well, and I think last year, we were kind of so focused on getting those classes done, right? Like it was kind of like, let's figure this out. And it was happening so fast. And then it happened. And then we kind of lost our luster, I think. And so I think at the first of the year when we did do this, so I agree. Like it's good to be able to look at it and feel like I'm even looking down here like, oh yeah, we did decide that.
And if something needs to be adjusted, I think this is a great time to adjust it as well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so looking at this, anyone feel that we need to move anything or keep anything or take away?
Well, I'd like to, I think we should see, like, where are we on accomplishing these? So can we just start at the top?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And review, you know, where we are, the inventory of existing city open space, parks, and outdoor assets?
So Yeah. Should we take these one at a time?
Yeah, let's just go right down the list.
I'm prepared to kind of do what Valerie suggested, which is to kind of walk through these, and that would be good, a good exercise, a good use of our time. That number one, the city staff has that assignment, I believe, and the way that I envision that we would make progress on this assignment is that we would bring a report back to this group in one of your monthly meetings, and we would be able to walk through the inventory of open space, parks, and outdoor assets, including those that, and I, if I remember correctly, I think our interest in the city's open spaces are what are the health and wellness and recreation opportunities for the public in those facilities. And so I think this would be an excellent use of a meeting to have the staff come back. There are lots of initiatives that we have begun at the city council level that probably should be relayed to this committee. Things that we have planned in Hatch Park, for example, that related to wellness, interest in trails, and a high level of interest in active transportation, which relates to this, but we haven't really spoken much about it. So my plan, I suppose, if this assignment comes to the staff, which I think it does, is that we would spend an upcoming meeting on this, on reporting back to the committee.
So could we set a schedule and
sure.
You know, what's a realistic time frame for that to be done? I mean, would you be able to come back in September?
Yes.
Or October?
I think probably August is a little too soon, but anytime after that, so September, October, November, anytime you want to do that, we can do it.
So you pick. And it'll just...
I think September would be good. That our health and wellness fair will be done after September.
And that's, I think that's for number three too, right? The trails and...
Yeah.
And yes, and that would go with number three, which we have also made some progress on. I think we've mostly reported to Councilmember Van Langeveld on that one. At least one of our schools, but we're doing more work. We annexed a school last year, or at the beginning of this year, and so we're working with that school, Adelaide Elementary, on these kinds of issues, safe walking issues, and so so that's, we can do that in September as well.
Okay.
On the same meeting.
Can we pause the date for, I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
I think with this kind of overview of inventory of parks, it might be worth our time to schedule a meeting with the Parks and Trails where we meet on the same day, and maybe November might be a better fit for that because that is the end of all of their seasonal events for the year. And then we have the presentation of here's the scope of all the parks in the city. Now those that we've asked to volunteer for the city to look at wellness in the city and also parks from the other board, where are the areas where you would recommend the city focus or the next steps? It doesn't have to be a combined meeting, but I like the idea that a similar overview, it could be much less intensive for the Parks and Trails Committee because they're going over that so frequently, where it's just kind of a formal once a year, here's where we put our priorities, or like, this is the messaging from the Health and Wellness Committee. We really value open space, or we really value benches and trails. Trails is an area that I've talked about a lot and that matters to me. So I like that idea, but I would like to hear from the rest of you if you think it's feasible to plan a meeting together. They're Monday nights as well, right?
They're Tuesday nights.
If we did November, they're Tuesday night. Do you know which week of the month?
Let's
probably
see.
Not first. It wouldn't be first.
It won't be the first because...
Yeah, that's city
council. Oh, no, that's not an election night, so...
In November. Is it the second Tuesday?
It's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving week. Because it's changed.
Oh, right.
So it's likely the first Tuesday, the second Tuesday in November, because the first Tuesday would be a council meeting.
So the question I would have for you, and then maybe for the other committee members, is do you think that that is valuable that we meet at the same time to do that? Or maybe we do this on our own, we say here's our priorities, and the Parks and Trails Committee also does it on their own and sends their priorities. I mean, it is something we could do separate, but what do you guys think?
I like it together. It seems more efficient to me. Okay. I mean, why do it twice and then come together and do it three times?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like to be sensitive of city staff's time.
Yeah.
Because this is all after their regular day job.
Yeah. Well, it's part of their regular day job. But it is after hours for sure.
I'm just the wife of a retired director of public works, and I know how many meetings there are at night.
So. And weekends and Sundays and all of it. I know.
Yeah.
So, but I think November probably, because Parks and Trails, they do have events through the fall that takes take up a lot of their time.
Okay, so November combined meeting.
If possible.
And we'll update the spreadsheet and make note of that too.
Okay.
And we'll do the same thing for number three. As a reporting item.
Yeah, and then Wendy will know that she just automatically reschedules our meeting to align with their...
Yes, we'll do that. It's always a conflict with Planning Commission. Yeah.
We could meet at the Public Works Building if we meet on Wednesday, the Tuesday.
Well, I'm sorry.
We could meet at the Public Works Building. Oh, yes. Conflict because you have to be at both places.
Yeah, she'll be at the Planning Commission meeting, but we can meet at their regular meeting at the Public Works Building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or they could meet on Monday if they want to move, but
yeah, well,
we're flexible.
Why don't we reach out to that committee? Wendy and I will reach out to that committee. We'll pick a time that works for everybody that maybe is the least amount of conflict for our staff, and we'll... in November.
If you can also express to them that this is a request, like, we're interested in doing this, but this is not something that they are required to do, if they feel like, no, our agenda is full and we're providing this feedback often enough that we don't need to do this as a regular agenda meeting, that's okay too, and we'll carry on with our own reviews.
And if they don't want to do it combined, then we can just have it be in our September meeting.
There is a lot of overlap that makes sense to me with having a joint meeting once in a while with that group in particular.
I agree, and I would say from my perspective, part of that overlap is that this committee provides more conceptual ideas. Like, for wellness, we think trails matter, we think open space matters, we think playgrounds for tots matter, or whatever those pieces are. We need to make sure the sidewalks are not as bumpy, but it's more conceptual. And then the Parks and Trails group is a little bit more nuts and bolts of the next place we're going to spend money in the city is Tunnel Springs Park or is Hatch Park, and here's where we're going to implement those concepts. That's just kind of how I see conceptually how it works together, although also the Parks and Arts Committee definitely provides feedback on actual, you know, ideas and concepts of what are in the parks. They do a great job.
Okay, so tentatively November.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll work on that.
Okay.
The second goal does relate to communities that care and Davis Behavioral Health, and that was a goal to have three classes a year. That one may need to be adjusted in the wording. I'm not sure we're going to do three classes, but we could have three events or three trainings.
No, it says four classes, but four?
No, number two says conduct three classes.
Oh, on my paper it says four.
On the one you handed out, it said three, and on Corey's presentation, it said four.
This must be an old paper.
One way we could reword that is say offer classes up to 3 to 4 times a year. So if we had in a situation like we are in this month where we ended up not holding the class because of low enrollment, it doesn't mean that we haven't met our goal. It meant that we provided the resource. And
There is a discrepancy on the between the PowerPoint.
I think we did adjust it though.
To four?
Okay. No. Yeah, my old paper said four, and that's what I was looking at.
Okay.
I think four we said was going to be too much to write off.
So
and then Danielle is here tonight, and I'm excited to meet her. I think we've been texting back and forth, and so she will, you know, kind of address.
So if we said on goal number two, we're going to offer four classes or training events or something like that. What do you think of that language?
Yeah, because also it doesn't have to be
some of our. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, no offense, it doesn't have to be communities of care. I mean,
well,
kind of limits us.
And the reason, you know, classes are what we think of as multi-week classes, but they offer one day classes. You know, right. We're doing this suicide awareness, and I know we don't call it that, but right. For parents, and that's coming up, and it's a one day, it's a Saturday training.
Yeah.
So.
Let me ask this. In terms of the goal, I think there's a couple of things we could add into it. I think we could add into it that the events or the classes are geared towards a range of different ages. I think that's something that the committee has felt is very important. Sure. And I think that it's not just that we're offering classes or events, but we're offering things that the community has identified they need better access to.
Yeah. Yeah, not just random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We could also change that wording if we ever wanted to invite different presenters. So it says offer up to 3 classes per year to the community along a range of target audiences, such as Communities That Care Coalition classes.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's our best option. We have no other competing options.
Yeah.
So do we want to do 4 or 3?
3.
I thought we went 2-3. I think we started with 4, and I thought maybe it was a
I thought we went to 3 also.
But I thought we decided it was easier because we didn't want to bite off too much.
We might have told the city council 4, but that's okay. They won't remember.
Yeah. they weren't listening.
They don't read the minutes. Only you guys read the minutes.
They're not going to fire us.
Yeah,
just don't tell them.
Nobody reads the minutes except you guys. That's right. Yeah, you can blame it on me. I take the take the blame for everything.
Okay, we good with 2? I mean, not 2 classes, number 2. Keep whittling it down. Okay, number 4.
Yeah, and number 4 is it is related to 4 and 5. Are related to our community outreach, so that is public information, social media, what we publish on the website, and those sorts of things. I didn't really have a chance to get with Linda and track this for the meeting tonight. I did think about doing that, but we were just not able to do that.
I know I've seen it several times.
I know we've seen it, yeah. And in all likelihood, she's tracking it, so we will... And I would mention that the website, we do have, sorry, I'll back up. We have some interest from the community in emergency preparedness. It sort of comes and goes when we have drought or we have a fire, or we have things, people ask questions about emergency preparedness. There's a really great web page on our website about individual and family emergency preparedness. It's well done. It includes some documents that people can go to, and includes some links people can use. And so, I guess the reason I say that is because I don't want you to think that because we don't talk about it much in these meetings, we haven't done anything, because a lot has been done. We're not as organized as Bountiful City, for example, that has 50 volunteers, and that's what they care about the most. We're not there yet, but
it's
we do
okay.
have
our,
material.
Our golf course is better.
That I don't know.
The public has decided.
Yes. But Linda has done a good job thus far, at least publishing some information. So I'll get a report back.
Yeah, I notice it for you. Often.
Could we maybe, Ken, for that one, shoot for like January? Like, I don't feel like this is something that we need to micromanage throughout the year. Like,
yeah.
We've kind of set these goalposts.
The yeah.
And then in January, we can revisit and say, like, have I seen these? Did I start to see these? Did we get comments? Do we feel like this was a sufficient amount? And I know that additional kind of reporting might feel tedious, but it also just gives us a little message of, you know, it needs to be a lot more than this. Or, you know, we did a lot of this, and I'm not sure it was necessary, so we can edit that for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we need to really have details on that for until the end of the year, in my opinion.
I agree. You can actually pull that stuff on Facebook too, like who clicked on it, what's this. So maybe at the end of the year we can get all that and then look at it.
It is a good activity to do at the end of the year.
Yeah. Okay, so number 6. We get on that one then? Those ones?
Yes.
Okay, issue letters of support. And we've done trustees, right?
I think that the actual letters of support turned into visits to the board meetings, if I recall. And so
I think that's a great strategy, especially for this first year as we're getting going. And then I think potentially in the future we could formalize a little bit more where we say, hey, in our goals for this year, these are the things we prioritized and kind of send it out. But I think for this year, the actual visits was a great strategy. And then I had to miss last year or last month. I was out of town. I'm sorry. But have we attended then all of these committee meetings? And have those that attended, did they
Was it last like report time or back? The time before? Okay. We talked about it last time. Yeah, last time we did cover that. And I think we got them all covered, right? I think I think all of them were covered.
That's really great.
I don't know. I think my assignment was the golf committee.
Well, I have talked about that last time because they moved it a couple times. Yeah. But I grabbed Court and Tyler and all those guys up there, and that's that last time I was here, that's what I was talking
great.
About. When I talked about the open house and all that, that's what I was meaning. So because I know they missed a month here and there, and they couldn't get together, and so right. They were all up there one night, and I just said, good. Go out on the deck. We're having a meeting.
That's great. I attend that meeting regularly, so I can, if we think we need more there, I can say something to that committee next, even Wednesday night, which is the next meeting.
My goal with this goal, my hope, I guess, with this goal was that there would feel like there is this bi-directional sharing of ideas. So not only like golf committee, this is one some things we think you should prioritize, but also coming back from them, like mm-hmm. health and wellness committee, this is what we are seeing in this purview that we're in. So here are some areas. So I like this as a kind of continuing collaboration. So maybe this first goal is kind of collaborate with these different committees, and then we'll revisit how this goal works and looks for next year. I do think it would be worthwhile to add to this formally senior lunch bunch, because that is one that the collaboration is really impactful for what we do. And we also have somebody on our committee that is very involved there and knows a lot about what they need. And we've already put through you and other resources, put energy into supporting that group as well.
Yeah, I agree. Just because it's not a committee meeting, I agree. I think we should add it.
So we did have a representative from Safe Harbor talk to the senior lunch bunch this year. So you can feel good about they have a topic where they have a presentation every month. And so we did that this year.
I think I just want to make a note here that this is a really good goal, and that establishing that relationship and that dialogue leads to that exchange of here's what we need help with, here's what you can help us with. But Corey, you started out this conversation by asking how you felt like we were doing. You know, we couldn't have that conversation without the work that we did last year, to be really direct with you. So I think this is good building on what we did last year.
Yeah, I agree. Because, well, none of this was on paper. It was ideas.
That's right.
It was dreams. But I mean, I'll tell you, going through this so far, let's not jinx it, I feel like we've been doing good. And it's good. Even that, I mean, I know that was kind of started off as just letters, but us meeting and talking to all these people, like, it was good. Even coming and doing the thing for the city council that night, you know, like, I feel like it kind of made us official. Yeah.
Yeah, that opportunity for all the committees, I will say, is very helpful to the committee members and to the city council. Because I think sometimes these committees operate in the background and the council is doing their business. But it's good, at least on an annual basis, to have every committee report to the council and discuss with the council what these citizen committees have been talking about, what they care about. I think that's helpful to you as an elected
official. And how they work, right? Because like when I did talk to Court and Tyler, they kind of joked like, well, how are we going to help you? You know? And I was like, well, that's it. I mean, this is mental health. People coming up here, it feels good to be outside, you know? And they were just kind of like, oh, okay.
I think just speaking to golf for a minute, because I talk to Tyler all the time, that he's running a business
right
for this, you know, the golf and the civic events, or the event center and the grill. But a part of what he does, he really spends time thinking about physical activity and physical health. And in particular, because I've talked to him about this, I know this is true, he thinks about different age groups, reaching out to youth. And Councilmember Van Langeveld reached out with elementary students, and I think that was wonderful. We should keep doing that.
I saw you guys all up there one day. That was quite the undertaking.
But Tyler really has emphasized youth golf up there since he's been there. He's trying to grow the men's league and the women's league. And I know that has a financial benefit to the operation. But I think for Tyler, a part of it really comes out of a desire to expose more people to the physical activity of golf as a healthy activity, as an outdoor activity, and a really a way to enhance the community. And I know he feels that way.
Well, and it all ties. I mean, it's a park, right?
Yes.
And then physical, mm-hmm. and it is a business. I mean, so all of those committees, it's all... That's why I was joking with them, because they were kind of like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, it's all in the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, we all, that's what it is. And I know some people like don't view a golf course as like a park, but as we had worked before, it is like North Salt Lake. That's a nice place for us, right?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece that
yes.
people like, even if they don't golf, like you can drive past it and think that's pretty.
Yeah. Yes.
At least this year, last year, it was a little dry. Okay, number 7.
So number 7, we made great progress on, right, Janet?
Yeah.
Yep, it's scheduled for August 3rd, and I now have a conflict, so I won't be there, but it's all set. The health department will be there with their big van, and I actually am drafting an email right now. I need to ask Linda to post on social media that school vaccinations will be available.
Oh, cool.
So that anybody who may need them from the health department can get them there. We haven't hit the deadline yet for health and wellness related businesses who have been contacted have to respond and say if they want to, you know, put a booth up. So far, I haven't gotten any responses. There was one that proactively contacted me who participated last year and said, are you going to do it again? Make sure, you know. So I know they'll be there, but any other ones haven't yet responded, but the deadline isn't for another 2 weeks. So now Corey was going to speak with, I thought it was Davis Behavioral Health.
It's Red Barn.
And maybe I'm jumping the gun here because we have item number 6.
No, so we can talk about it. So it... it's not Davis Behavioral. They work with Davis Behavioral. So they have like people that work at Red Barn. If you guys have seen like out at Station Park, that big Red Barn place.
I ride my bike by there all the time.
Yeah. So it's actually a treatment center that's uh-huh. all nonprofit, and the people that go there get to go there for free. And it's really cool. And what they do there is they have all these like businesses within. So they have like a moving company, a landscape company, that Sticky Bird restaurant, if you've seen it, that's right there. It's kind of like a Chick-fil-A with different sauces type thing, like, you know. And then they have a thrift store. Anyway, all of the employees are people that are in treatment there. So you get accepted in. They don't accept everybody. It's kind of like a, you have to go and prove your point and why I need to do this and why I can't pay for treatment and why I need help. And then if you get accepted, then you work during the day. So you're basically working for your treatment. It's a really cool model. And those big, huge next to it looks like apartments, those are where they live. And so they have 80-something people kind of going through at any given time. And it's amazing. But they also, so the people that, they don't employ like therapists and different things because it's all nonprofit. So Davis Behavioral, there's kind of like an arm that's inside there. And so that's what it is. And so is the guy that is the founder, well, him and his father, his name's Mike, and that was the guy I was talking about. And he said, yeah, we will be there for sure. We love that stuff, and it's pretty neat. Yeah. So they'll be there. They're going to be there.
Okay, awesome. So what I'm going to do is I'll have a map
of where people can set up their table. We don't provide tables or tents or anything like that.
I'll bring all that, yeah.
So, but there will be a map, and if you can give me the contact information of that, of Mike, mm-hmm. so that I can include him on the distribution.
Perfect.
Because I will not be able to be there that day.
Okay.
So I'll share that with Detective Everett, who's organizing the Night Out Against Crime, and then all the commercial vendors who show up will be on the distribution for that map.
Cool.
As well.
Yeah, knowing them, they'll probably bring one of their big moving trucks and park it in the parking lot. Like they, whenever they do these things, they bring a whole bunch of people, and it's pretty cool. Like,
yeah, it'll well, be really and good. Night Out Against Crime, we get huge participation from the
well,
community.
He even said next year, he said this year a little bit would be too late, but they could even, because they have that restaurant, and they cater a lot of things, and they could do, they don't have a food truck, but they do like catering things where they could bring some things and do some stuff. And mm-hmm. I said, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't get too crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want to make sure that people, like, I ride by that all the time. I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was kind of a high-end kids' day camp or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Sort of. It's quite the place. Like, it started, so the story is they had a, their son, which is Mike's brother, overdosed and died. And he had been in and out of treatment. This was 10, 12 years ago or so. And then Mike also struggled. And so when his brother died, it kind of got him shaped up. And he had to go to treatment and do some things. But he always wanted to do something with that. And there's a place down in Arizona called Anasazi. And it's a treatment center that is funded by a bunch of people here, like Steve Young and a bunch of people that have kind of put some money into it. And they're the ones that helped get this one going. So it's quite the place. Like it's
beautiful.
And it is super nice. And it gives mm-hmm. people, and you can't just pay it. Like you can't go in there and say, I want to pay for my loved one to go here. It's not that way. And so it gives a lot of people that have never had a chance. And then when they're done, they have a skill, you know, they've worked and they have, because they have job opportunities, and it's quite the place. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Okay.
And they're the best movers ever.
Oh, they're amazing.
Because they moved me, and they were fantastic.
Yeah.
The most respectable. They were awesome.
Yeah.
I would recommend them highly to anyone.
They
ever.
Are. Yeah. Always. We've used them even at our treatment center for stuff, and they've moved stuff for us. They're incredible. Yeah. Great people.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So next we have the wellness survey, which Alyssa is going to talk about mm-hmm. in a minute. So that will...
Before we move to that, Janet, do you have any specific volunteer requests or assignments that you want to give? Like, you talked to Corey about the map. Do you have other assignments you want people to take?
I don't... If somebody could just be there at the beginning of it, that would be great, because I couldn't... I had this other thing that was supposed to happen in June, but then because of all the flooding, it got pushed to August, and I could not get out of it. There was nobody else who could pick up the slack, so I can't be there.
And when you say be there, you mean to welcome the vendors in and point them to where they need to go? What time of day would that be?
I believe it really starts about 5 o'clock.
So, like four,
but
maybe.
Detective Everett will have the map as well. So it really... What I did last time is I just popped over, introduced myself to him, and kind of hung around a little bit. And I gave everybody my phone number. So if they had a question, if there was a problem, I live down the street, so I could be there. So if there's somebody who could just sort of be on call.
I'll make sure I'm there. I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have city staff there. I'll be there. Craig will be there.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll
Are there
we'll
any
make
other
sure.
assignments you would you want?
Okay. No, because Detective Everett is doing all the big, you know, entertainment stuff, and city staff is already doing food and everything like that. So I was just there to wrangle and make sure people felt like they knew where they needed to be. But that's why I was going to do the map, so it would be easy. And last year, what I did is I made signs, and I asked, you know, Detective Everett to bring some cones, because they have lots of traffic cones. And I just, like, put where people should be. So, but I can ask him to do that, I think.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there, for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to do the Utah State thing?
I think I'm on the agenda later down, and I might dive into some weeds. So let's wrap this up.
Okay.
And
then we're good. Okay. So now I got a question. Now that we've actually gone through this, now what do you think? Better or worse than before? I feel better.
Yeah.
I feel better, but I question, like, I'm anxious to hear the results of the survey, because I wonder if some of this is just busy work, if it's really making an impact. Because I think a lot of it, a lot of residents don't even know about.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. In my experience in working on committees and doing things, you definitely feel like most of it's busy work and no one cares and different things. But what I've learned, at least for me, is it's not always what we're doing. It's kind of laying groundwork for other stuff. Like I've been on several committees where, like, years later, things have, like, and I'm like, oh, I remember when we did that or did something. Mm-hmm. And so don't get discouraged. That's what I'm trying to say. Because at least for me, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. You've probably been on several committees. What do you think? I mean,
I think this has been fantastic. And I feel like, given the scope of what this committee was asked to do and the scope of what we could have done, to have narrowed it down into these really concrete, measurable steps within a year is actually fantastic progress. And I think, like you said, this is laying a foundation for future work and the procedures for future work. So it's kind of, I think about, like, staff is already doing a lot of what we've talked about here, and there's kind of these bees in a hive, like, humming along, trying to do this good work, and then the Health and Wellness Committee kind of came here to try to give it a little bit of direction where needed, or to silo where some of that work that's already happening fits into larger goals. So instead of saying, like, why are we even posting on the internet about emergency preparedness, like, no, that's because we've made a policy decision that we value this, and we want to have this information. So I feel like this work is maybe less hands-on and a lot more organizational and conceptual, but I think it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of what we've done.
Well, I do know with the Senior Lunch Bunch, I think attendance is up. Enthusiasm is way up.
Good.
And Wendy just does a phenomenal job. But it's now even more focused on what do they need,
sure,
and what's going to help them. And she and I talk about that on a regular basis, and we now start surveying the, you know, when we're there, we talk to them and say, show of hands, who's interested in this, and let's see what we can do to kind of break down barriers. Because for seniors, there are a lot of barriers for some seniors. And so so that's really challenging sometimes. But I think they're really noticing that effort. But I don't have visibility to, you know, other parts of the community so much.
Sure.
So.
Well, like I said, I don't think you're not doing anything. I mean, and I'll tell you this right now, I hate busy work. I hate worksheets. I hate things that are meaning nothing. So if I'm doing that, I won't do it. So I will let you know.
Okay.
if I feel like we're just doing things to just take up time, that's not how I operate.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, at the beginning, I feel like we were floundering, just trying to figure out what we were supposed to be doing. So I agree with you, Elisa, that we've made a lot of progress trying to narrow her focus in to things. So, like, we are finally getting maybe in a stride a little bit.
I have a couple of suggestions as we look over these. On goal number 6, can we also add to that the YCC as a group that we collaborate with? And I think that's actually a really rich population when we're talking about mental wellness in the city, to ask them like, hey, what do you guys think we need? Mm-hmm. And then I would like to talk to this group about potentially adding what we're calling right now the celebration events that the city is doing. And I met with the Parks and Arts Board, and we kind of made a plan to do four of these for this year. And I've talked about it in the committee before. I don't know if we want to add that as a goal for this committee or if we keep that separate, but we have two of those completed and they went really well. And we got really good community feedback from both of those. And we have two more that are pending that we don't have committee chairs for. And if you have resources, I would love to for you to point them my way. But I'd like to hear some feedback maybe or some ideas about those celebration events. And I can review it if you don't remember what we're talking about.
I don't remember.
Okay, no problem at all. It's brand new and kind of came up kind of reactively, so it's fine. So last year, formally, the state of Utah designated June 19th as a state holiday, and then in kind, the city decided to pursue that as well, to designate June 19th as a holiday. And in our conversations in city council about designating this holiday, we decided to, instead of just the formal proclamation, to add a community event in support of that. And it was one-off, one-time. It was in conjunction with the food trucks on a Monday night. The city donated a very small budget to hire a DJ. We had some decorations. I think that was all we spent the money on for last year. And it was really well received. And so this year, that Juneteenth committee, we asked them last year, how can we as a city continue to support this type of inclusion and celebration throughout the year rather than just this one-off one time through the year we say, hey, we want to be as inclusive as possible. And that committee recommended, please do more of these throughout the year. Don't make it just a one-off. And so in that spirit, we talked and I met with Parks and Arts Board, and there's a liaison, Jeff's from that board, about four events that we kind of proposed for this year. And it was Juneteenth, which we did, and Pride, which we did. And those both went really well. There was a lot of community support for both of those, meaning that it was easy to find volunteers and committee chairs for both of those. But we, in our talks about it in March and April, we wanted to expand that scope. And so we also identified Asian or Pacific Islander Heritage Night and Latino or Hispanic Heritage Night for August and September of the fall. And those are the two that we don't have committee chairs for right now. And then I met with Parks and Arts because they tend to run a lot more of events in the city, and that's not necessarily the scope of what we do. So I wanted to make sure we weren't stepping on their toes, and they were very supportive, but liked the idea of having it be kind of a co-collaboration. So the question at hand then is any feedback about those particular events? The idea that we kind of talked about is that then as we round the year into the winter, we would then look at, say, like, what four events do we want to do next year? Not that we do the same four every year, and not that we do more and more and more every year, and then it just kind of spirals out of work scope. But like another one that came up that I think would be really great is autism awareness. Like in our city in particular, we have one of the best charter schools in the state that focuses on autism support. Like that would be a great way for us to celebrate our community. So that's kind of the idea of the celebration events. And currently it's set at four per year. After this year, we may decide, nope, it's two a year that we want to do, or whatever we end up choosing. So feedback or ideas or suggestions about those.
I think the autism awareness one, especially if it caters to kids with autism and is careful about sensory overload, because I think sometimes that community can't go to events. And we have there's people who move to North Salt Lake so they can get their kids in Spectrum. So I think if they do that one, they should really gear it towards that community, not just awareness in the general community, but create an activity just for them. That's just my opinion. But
I agree. Yeah. That's in my field, something that I've noticed in the past few years doing events like that, uh-huh. that they do like even like fair type things, but they're catered, like you say, like, you know, not tons of noise and not tons of different right. things. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also space it around different parts of the city. Because like up at the golf course, I don't go to anything up there.
One of the pieces of the celebration event is to dovetail with Food Truck Night. So the concept right now is that it would always be at Legacy Park. Legacy. It's always on a Monday night. Doing that, there's already a vendor fair, and so there's already an event in place, and then we just do this highlight of a particular group culture that we want to highlight. And the collaboration we worked out with the city is that the vendor fair and the food trucks are already running, and we can make a request to the Food Truck League to prioritize different food trucks. But the way the Food Truck League works is they basically send a call out to their food trucks and say, hey, North Salt Lake is doing a Juneteenth night. Do we have any like black-owned businesses that would really want to come and do this? And then they opt in. Right. So that it minimizes any of our effort in trying to find all of the food trucks and the vendors. And the vendors will be there. But then we, as the celebration committee, would have the opportunity to invite specific vendors. Like for the Pride event, we invited some mental health clinics. We invited some outreach clinics. And then we'd have those as part of it, but it's very small. It's a very small budget that we would then, we have like a few decorations. At the Pride event, we did something new, which is we had a North Salt Lake booth and we had a kids activity at the booth. And that was a total win. We had rock painting and we had 90 rocks and we ran out of rocks. Like we had plenty of kids that were there that wanted to do it. I think that for this, maybe autism awareness one, maybe we hand out like earplugs or something that is really related to, and we handed out buttons, which were donated, but we handed out buttons at the Pride event. But a piece of this is having a North Salt Lake booth that would, I'm hoping, be staffed by this group, at least for this summer. And then we've had conversations about potentially in future years, it might be staffed by a larger group of city staff. But for this year, it's staffed by this group on these nights. And I'm going to be here on these nights, so I can do that. But I would invite all of you to come and hang out with me and do it. Any other feedback or suggestions or requests?
Just feedback. I think that this committee is really centered on community well-being and the different kind of mechanisms in place that support that. Belonging is a huge component of that, and I really appreciate kind of the focus of those celebration events. So that seems like a really tight connection to me.
I was just going to mention that physical limitation of the food trucks on Monday night at Legacy Park is likely not permanent. Hatch Park has a location that we're building into the renovation for food trucks. So we'll be able to have a food truck event here at Hatch Park. And Tyler's even talked about expanding the activities at the golf course in the evenings and possibly having food trucks. It wouldn't be as regular as Legacy Park or Hatch Park, but so there's Tunnel Springs Park up in the foothills. There's the golf course. These things could happen all over, to answer your question about where it could.
So will the Hatch Park renovation include ample parking?
Yes.
Okay, because right now parking is kind of tight.
Yep, and it'll be completely different. And we'll make that presentation to you soon.
Okay.
And send
November.
That. Yeah. November.
This idea of moving the food trucks around, would that mean that on regular Monday food truck night, the location might rotate around the city?
I'm not really suggesting that, because I think the Legacy food truck event it's beginning to have a presence there in the neighborhood, and I don't know that we'd want to interrupt that. So
so these would be additional.
So we'll have to think about Hatch Park is being designed with a very large gathering space and lots of things happening in the park that support that gathering space. And so it's a little different than Legacy. And I'm not sure that we couldn't continue to support the Monday night food trucks and combine food trucks when we have big events at Hatch Park.
It may be a different population too.
It might be.
Because the Legacy food trucks is largely Foxborough. And Foxborough is big enough that it can support
that. Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to gauge that. I mean, I think there have been a lot of surprises that have changed me that I didn't think we could do in North Salt Lake in the 12 years I've been here. But so anything's possible, but Hatch Park is going to have a real large capital investment in new facilities, including parking.
So taking what you said, Valerie, about these types of events fitting into what we do. Do you think then that that would be something we would want to add as a specific goal of what we've achieved for this week or this year, or is that something that we think as a committee we'd want to keep separate? Are there any ideas about that?
I like the idea of adding it as a goal. I think that there, given the progress we've made towards goals that are already down, I would feel comfortable at this point adding one. I don't know how the rest of the committee feels, but to me, I think that makes sense.
I think if we add one, we need to assign an owner.
A committee, somebody from the committee who's over this assignment. I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
But what I've done is found a chair for each of the events. So I'm more in the background coordinating, but there's a chair. And so if there's anyone on this committee who would like to chair the Pacific Islander Asian Heritage or the Hispanic Latino Heritage, please, I would love that help. Or if you know somebody in the community. It is a low volunteer effort because, again, the food trucks are already there. The vendors are already there. It is adding, like, help us pick the DJ. And are there other vendors you'd like to invite that we haven't thought of? That's the scope mostly of what it is. So if you know anyone, please send them my way. Thank you. Okay, then I have one more thing. So I just want to review what I've heard here. I think that one thing towards the end of the year last year, we were still hashing out our goals over and over and over again at each of our meetings, which I think was important work to do, but I don't want to find ourselves doing that again as we round the horn into the fall this year. So a couple things that I've noted is that on our November agenda will be a review of the parks and outdoor assets. Like, that's going to be our focus. And then I would like to add on that agenda a discussion we have after, so that we say, okay, here, now we've seen this scope. Where do we see our priorities? So we can kind of wrap up that agenda item on that night. In January, a kind of social media review and a report of the year, here's what we've done. And then that night, we can also have that conversation after the report of, like, did we feel like we hit this? In February, I think that you presented at City Council on what we had done for the year. So that cuts the corner a little tight for that in reviewing what we had done for the year. But, like, February will be our, I don't know, maybe that does cut it too tight. Because I do like the idea of, as a committee, kind of having a conversation about what we've done for the year before you go and present that. And then as we start turning the, you know, towards the end of the year, I would really like us to use the wellness survey as our guideline for what goals we make for next year. And then the question I have is, do we want that goal making conversation to happen in the fall, or do we start that in January and set our goals by March? Or do we start that in October and have our goals in place by January?
I'd vote for having those conversations in October so that by January we know what we need to focus on.
Yeah, I'd rather start the year working on that than be too far in.
Great, then let's, like, formally put that on the agenda for October, and maybe even September if we don't have something else for September, because we've got some really good information from the wellness survey that I think can really help us see how what we've already been doing actually is dovetailing with what the community is asking for, which makes me feel really happy that we were really dialing into, like, a pulse of what the community sees and feels. That's great. Thank you.
So is that we're having the representative present to the City Council, correct, coming up?
Yes, August 15th, I think.
August 15th, right? Okay. So we'll have the results.
We do have the results right now.
We do.
And I can talk about some of those. And we could do a deeper dive into that detail. I actually think that would probably be a great idea to do a deep dive.
I think September would be a good meeting for that.
Okay. So add that to the formal agenda, like a review of that.
Yeah.
And then take from that, where do we want to set our goals for the next year? And then maybe October, we firm up those goals. We did that over several meetings last year, but maybe we do that in the two meetings. And then we go into November with review of our parks and arts, no meeting in December. And then in January, we're ready to go with our year summed up as well as our next year in place.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'd rather start the year like that than wait. Okay, now you got me eager. So what's in the survey?
Is that the next agenda?
I thought we were getting an update from Davis Bay here.
Danielle, I think.
I just want to make sure we're respectful of Danielle's time.
Do you want to come up now? You're eagerly waiting.
Okay, this is cool. So I'm with Davis Behavioral Health. I know some of you, but I'm on the prevention education team, and I was South Davis CTC's coordinator. CTC is an evidence-based program that focuses on preventing underage substance use. But before I dive in, my role has changed. So I'm now more of the program manager at Davis Behavioral Health. So these classes that we're going to be talking about. So I might still be your point of contact, or there might be someone else. Either way, we'll get you familiar with whoever that is. Last month, thanks for letting me come back. I was sick. So I know I sent a first document, very bare bones data of what we had. So I have an updated version, actually, because our class is finished in May, and so we had time to actually finish out the reporting. So I'm going to pass that out. I will say it's all of South Davis, so my work South Lake is included in that. Once North Salt Lake maybe holds more classes, we might be able to separate out those who are just North Salt Lake residents. So what you're seeing here, I guess the top part, first page, starts with the bar graphs. So it just kind of lays out how many individuals we served by city, again, the five cities we serve. And then it goes into the number of individuals served by program. And then I've included what those acronyms mean on the side. I don't know if you want me to like run through this. Do you want some time to like look it over? And if you have any questions, what's kind of...
I have a question from Ken, for Ken. How does North Salt Lake's population compare to Bountiful? I mean, would that explain this huge spike? Or is Bountiful just more...
It's certainly... Could. Bountiful has significantly more people, over double our population. But we have quite a bit more population than the other three cities. So it's not explained completely by population.
I thought I had that same question, but I think that would be, I would love that in the presentation of, hey, out of this, we have 358, our population is roughly 24,000 and Bountiful is roughly 45,000. So it's about double. And we're not double those numbers, but it does look very different than Woods Cross that has a much smaller population than us. Like this looks like we're doing a really good job.
Yeah, and I will say the second graph by program, why Bountiful was so much higher is because of that learning to breathe 10th grade. It was strictly Bountiful High. So whereas with in North Salt Lake, we were just at Foxboro Elementary as far as learning to breathe goes. So I think that also contributed to that spike in Bountiful,
You know, one thing that I haven't loved about these statistics is that that's not a perfect representation of our city because all of the kids in Foxboro go to Bountiful High. So they're actually being captured in those Bountiful numbers.
You're right, yep.
Although to be fair, we don't have a high school technically in our city. So all of the high schoolers that in our entire city are being represented as being serviced in another city, either Woods Cross or Bountiful.
Yes,
but I know that's a detail that you might not be able to parcel out, and I get that.
Yes, no, thanks for pointing that out and reminding me that that is the case with the school boundaries. So you're absolutely right.
And the learning to breathe sixth grade, so the elementary level, is you said that that's offered at Foxboro Elementary. Is that also offered to the charter schools?
To some of them. It depends if they have opted into the SHARP survey. We want them, if they're going to do learning to breathe, we would want them to do the SHARP survey so we can measure that depressive symptom risk factor that is in the SHARP survey.
Okay.
So if you want them to be included in learning to breathe, we would have that conversation with the school if they would like to participate in that.
Well, we have several charter schools
in
North Salt Lake. I mean, we have, is Legacy Prep, is that Woods Cross?
It is now.
It is now, yeah. So, but a lot of North Salt Lake kids go to Legacy Prep. And then we have Wasatch Peak, Spectrum. Are there others? Okay, so I think if whatever we're doing for Foxboro Elementary, we should try to offer to the charter schools as well.
Okay.
And they might not be aware of the program.
Yeah. No, I can make note of that. And I mean, if you have any connections to those charter schools, I think that would be the biggest help in like starting that conversation. But that can come. Because I will say this year was a sharp survey year, so we'll get those results in the fall. Uh-huh. So 2025 would be the next year. So it probably is a good time to start the conversation and get them on board before
okay.
that comes up next fall. So
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, we were just talking about when we would do a next class.
Yeah, So Wendy had told me from last month's meeting, you wanted to hold a Circle of Security parenting class starting in January. So that is something we have on our calendar. But as far as other classes, what did you guys have in mind? Or did you want me to connect you with other resources? Like you said, it doesn't have to be CTC based, but it's just what we've got.
It seemed like, oh, I was trying to find it. I found it earlier, and now I can't find it. The paper that you gave out last
time. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't bring copies of that.
And I can't bring it up. I was trying to find it on my phone. There was a question on that you'd done a survey, and it seemed like the numbers were kind of low on that as far as the results. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I did review those. So with these pre and post tests, it measures the before and after the class. Mm-hmm. So that's just showing the increase in their pre and post scores for all of South Davis. Whereas these here are the individual questions. And so the biggest increases is what I've included here to show what people are learning the most within these programs.
Okay. So if it said only 12%, it was just a 12% increase?
So like, yeah, total of all the people. And again, very, not as many people compared to other, I should back up. So like the classes we held here at North Salt Lake and the classes we held at Foxboro Elementary, that's the pool that we're working with compared to all of South Davis. So it was like that pool that was the before and after, I'm pretty sure. Does that help answer your question?
I think. I wish I could bring it up.
I'm sorry. That's the one thing I didn't bring.
It's not coming up suddenly. Not coming up on my phone.
And I don't want to gloss over some of these results because they're really impressive. Of 93% saying they're recognizing behavioral triggers that create a negative response towards their child. That's pretty amazing. And also 68% retention through the program is also very, very high.
Yeah. No, we're definitely happy to see what we're seeing. So
I would say from our committee, I don't know of a topic that we have that's pending more. Like, we've loved this and would love to offer Circle of Security again, Strengthening Families. I think Everyday Strong was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of place them throughout the year. But yes, absolutely continue this partnership and plan for this for the upcoming year.
And what do you need from us to do that?
Yeah, so as far as Everyday Strong goes, right now it's just kind of schedule when the building's available, when you want to hold it, preferably at least 4 weeks out, so we can get an instructor and start promoting. But we can start getting those on the calendar if you want to schedule a couple within the year, however you guys want to do it. That one's probably the easiest to schedule.
Those are 1 day classes.
Yep, one time, 90 minutes. So whatever works for you all, or I should say the building.
Do you find the attendance is better in the evening or on a Saturday?
Probably the evening.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think like Ken mentioned, there's a Saturday youth mental health first aid that's scheduled here, and we had to postpone because we didn't get the right number of people.
Uh-huh.
So I think, but that is an all-day thing, so that is a little bit different. But if you're wanting to experiment, we can certainly try a Saturday. I think it also depends on if instructors are willing to work Saturdays.
Well, I would defer it based on your experience, what you get the best response on. But I think from this committee, we should just pick times and say, okay, September, let's do Every Day Strong, and what, November or whatever, early November, we do something else.
Yeah.
Do we currently have any pending scheduled? I know there was one for the summer that...
The September 30th is what that Youth Mental Health First Aid got rescheduled to.
Okay.
That's the Saturday. And then January is where the Circle of Security Parenting, the end of January. So that's all we've got right now on the schedule.
So could we do Every Day Strong in September, like mid-September, something like that, 10th, 15th, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll work with Wendy and to get that scheduled in September.
Can I'm cautious to ask this question, but on the Every Day Strong workshop, which I see on the back page, it says 40% of people who attended had an increase in knowledge.
Yeah.
Can you kind of walk us through that context? And I'm thinking it's probably because it's a one-time 90-minute class versus something like the Circles of Security, which is 8 workshops. But it would be really great if you could just share kind of your thoughts on that.
Absolutely.
It's not like I'm...
No.
I'm just curious, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So Every Day Strong is based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So that triangle, right? Basic needs that everybody needs to basically live and thrive. And so they altered it for this workshop. Mm-hmm. So on the bottom, it still remains physical needs. So sleep, water, diet, whatever. Then it goes to safety, which is emotional safety. So you dive into that. What does that look like? How can I increase that within my child? Then from there, it goes to connection. How can I connect better? Knowing that that safety has to be there first in order for that connection to really strengthen and grasp on, right? And then once that connection is there, it goes to confidence, where kids... tend to be more confident, tend to listen to what you have to say more because that connection is there. The feedback that we've received is a lot of these concepts are not necessarily new. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where that increase in knowledge may come from. Other feedback is that, and I think it's also dependent on instructors and how they teach it, but if an instructor focuses on one area more than the other, it may feel rushed. Whatever. So there are different variables relating to that. And I will say the Every Day Strong workshop is based out of United Way of Utah County. So if there's ever any feedback that we're receiving, they're very receptive. And so if that's something that we can try and increase, then let's tell them. But good question. Does that help answer?
Yeah, and it's not negative feedback in any way. Yeah. I was just curious because I just see like a difference in the...
Totally. Yeah.
And I just wonder if it's the question that they're asking maybe doesn't get at...
That's another good point.
...the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
their evaluation.
Doesn't reflect the benefit that people feel.
Yep. It's all good.
Would this be... Is there a program... maybe the Youth Mental Health First Aid, although that is geared for adults, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Is there a program geared for youth? Is maybe the, what was the mindfulness one, the breathe one?
Learning to breathe.
Mm-hmm. What I'm thinking is potentially offering that to our Youth City Council. There's a group of about 20 youth and doing a workshop with them. Is there something that might fit for that we could offer to them?
Yeah, I believe so. That's one thing I was going to bring up is that learning to breathe course. We do have the capacity to do up to 2 adult community classes. So I was going to ask if your committee would want to hold that here. It's a 6-week class for, I think I put it, let me remind myself. Oh, sorry, 1 hour for 6 weeks. But that's also similar to the youth. It would be 6 weeks. I think they tack on an extra 15 minutes, so an hour and 15. And I want to say it's 14 plus. I'll have to double check with the mindfulness team. But if that's something you're interested, again, I would check with them, and I'd probably get dates from them first on when their availability is and capacity is, and then come back to you. But that's likely the only one we've got strictly okay. for youth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That might take up a larger portion of their time than would fit. But if there was something that was like a 1-day, 2-hour workshop, like mental health first aid geared towards youth, that might be something we would be interested in like offering to our youth city council, and then maybe potentially other workshops, but geared towards youth.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'll see. I don't think we have anything, but I can also keep my ears out if there's anything else in the community. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Strengthening Families program, that's 7 classes?
Yep, that one's 7 weeks. That one's more time intensive. It's 2.5 hours for one night each week, where the whole family comes, specifically if they have kids 10 to 14 years old. Mm-hmm. So the parents meet for an hour while the youth meet for an hour, and then they come together that second hour as a family, and they go over the things that they learned. Mm-hmm. And then that half hour is the dinner we provide. But that's where, love to have you guys host it, but I don't think the space here is what we need or what we're looking for Strengthening Families. So that's why I've just recommended Circle of Security, where it's just one room and then childcare. So
okay.
But yeah, that's what Strengthening Families is. And that's
September 30th. Isn't Circle of Security?
Sorry, Circle of Security is January 31st.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the Youth Mental Health First Aid that's September 30th.
Okay.
Yeah. So many good things.
And I had a question, not to make you stay longer. The social development strategy.
Oh, yes.
What is that class?
Yes, so that one is a newly created workshop that our team has worked on. It helps strengthen protective factors within adults and within a family. It focuses on teaching adults how to increase opportunities for their child, to teach their child skills that go with the opportunity, and then to provide sort of recognition or reward for doing or achieving or doing well at that activity. Then once those three things are in place, it creates that sense of bonding, which is then needed for the child to listen to you as you communicate the clear standards that you're wanting for them to ultimately have healthier behaviors and healthier outcomes. So we're working on a different name because we know that social development strategy doesn't say anything about what the workshop is, but that's one we're hoping to get more into the community.
And that's for adults, for parents.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, it can be for parents, school personnel, anyone who works with kids. Youth. So it could even be like the YCC advisors, right? So.
Right. And is it up and running yet?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So if you wanted to hold one here, we could do that as well.
And it's a one-time?
One-time, about hour 45, two-hour workshop. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we have a lot of need for something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe October?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Late October, you know-ish.
Yeah. So maybe Everyday Strong September, this in October, and then Circle of Security in January.
Yeah.
And then maybe Learning to Breathe. Don't want to tap you out on your 3.
No, I think we love our partnership with you guys, and it's really, the classes that we did are really important. I know we reached a few people who were recommended to us by our police department and others, and it was really beneficial to those families, I think, when we did it before. We need to keep doing it.
And once you get the exact dates, then can those be communicated to Chief Black so that if they have families in mind, that way we can close that loop?
We also last year contacted the principals at the elementary schools and said, if you have families in particular that think would benefit from this program, send them our way.
That would be fabulous. Yeah.
You know, I can't think of an adult who couldn't benefit from what you're calling the social development class.
Resilience, call it resilience training.
I mean, I have grandchildren, you know, that are easy to connect to now because they're 4 years old. But, you know, I could use skills too, even though my kids are grown.
Yeah. And I will say that the SDS workshop isn't necessarily new information, right? It's all about how we're presenting it. So we hope it's more of like a refresher and maybe things that adults can pinpoint maybe where they could strengthen. So, yeah. I guess I have one question for you all, and I don't know if there's necessarily an answer, but as far as data goes, you had mentioned, you know, North Salt Lake feeds into a lot of different schools. Is there a way that we can help pull out North Salt Lake kids, adults, when we're reporting on these? Because I think our end goal would be to have each city have like their own report once we get enough people.
Do you structure the city based on the location of the elementary school or high school?
We do.
So you don't have actual geographical location for the individual respondent?
I guess I should say, yes, when they register, we get where they live. I don't know. Being that I'm new into this role, I deal with the data, and I get to structure it how I want to. Previously, they haven't, I don't think they've been like, okay, this person may have attended this school, but they're from this city. I think they just said this school is where they're from. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's what they explained to us previously, that's how they did it.
Oh, okay, yeah. So then if we can do a different route, I'm open.
If you have the individual respondent's geographic location, zip code only would do this, then you could pull out just North Salt Lake.
Okay, I'll look into it. But as far as students go, would that be harder? As far as like,
it would, because we don't actually have a high school in North Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So no North Salt Lake high schoolers are being represented in North Salt Lake data. And then the elementary and the middle school too. We don't have a middle school in North Salt Lake. So once kids hit 12 to 18, none of their data from North Salt Lake is actually in North Salt Lake data.
So it might take a new tool during those classes to identify where people live.
Well,
if you already have it, because I think it comes
from the SHARP survey.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from this. Oh, I guess the outcome data would come from the elementary school. But the SHARP's data that identifies kind of risk, that would have the geographic location, I think.
I'll have to check and see if they ask zip code. Yeah, I'm not sure on that. Yeah.
We're happy with what you're doing, even if we don't get that fine level of data.
Okay. Thanks.
And now that you've been here and you know kind of what we do, feel free to reach out to us and say, okay, we've got this new class or whatever, because we want to keep doing this.
Okay.
And so if you haven't done one in a while, feel free to say, hey, we could do something this spring, and just keep it going.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Thanks.
And can you remind us, the Communities That Care Coalition, how often do you meet?
Yeah. It was about bi-monthly. The whole coalition met. Reason being, we had work groups that met more on a monthly basis. And so when everyone met on that bi-monthly schedule, it's kind of like a report out on what the work groups were doing. When there's a new coordinator, might structure it differently. I'm not sure. But then as far as key leaders go, that's every 3 months. They're on a quarterly schedule.
So for the rest of the committee members, this is a kind of collaboration that is really valuable for our city. And one thing we talked about early last year is the potential of assigning one person on our committee to attend the coalition meetings. But I think Chief Black attends, is that right? Mm-hmm. And are there other city staff that attend those?
No, I don't think so. Just Chief Black.
So if any of you are interested in being that liaison, okay, Corey, it sounds like you want to be. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're already going? Oh, well, never mind. We're already doing that.
I actually think that's how I got asked to be here, because, I was there first, and then the previous mayor was attending.
And went well, next. You are officially our committee representative for Communities That Care.
Yes.
I was going to say,
I will volunteer to go.
Even if you can't attend, you still get my emails, there we go. And I will say we did onboard Mayor Horrocks, so he's at least aware of what we're doing. Yeah. But anyways, any other questions for me? Okay, well, I'll be
in
touch with...
And for your presentation.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll be in touch with Learning to Breathe, and then if you want to let me know any September, October dates, that would
we'll
be great.
We'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Thank you. Okay, the moment we've all been waiting for.
Is it me now? Yep. Yay! Okay, I'm delighted to report on the, I'll do a high-level overview of the health and wellness survey results, and then it sounds like we'll have a future agenda item where I can include probably some PowerPoint graphs that you can look at, but the survey was a phenomenal success. It ended up kind of cobbling together quickly towards the end, and it had a slow ramp up for participation, but we ended so high. So in order to get reasonable results, they set as a benchmark, I think it was 275 responses. And if we don't get at least that many, then the results are just so niche that we can't really say that this represents the city. In the end, we got 605 respondents. I know, so much better than I thought we were gonna do. It's well represented, the demographics of the sample population well represented the entire population of the city, so it's representative of our city. It covered the whole range of income categories, the whole range of age categories. It was like 50-50% female and male. Like, the demographics look really great, and what that means in the research is that we can confidently say we have tapped into feedback that represents our city instead of only feedback that represents the young people or the old people or the rich people or any of that piece. Like, nope, this is representing the whole city, which is really, really exciting. As you know, the survey started and was open for the month of March. And then the project, the Utah Wellbeing Project, is a collaboration with Utah State University where they offer this exact same survey to cities all across the state. And then they collect that data and are able to do research on that data and then provide it to us so we can make policy decisions based on that data. And that's why I wanted to have this be kind of some of the information we take into our planning for goals for next year. So some of the key findings in our city, some of the high, I won't ask who took the survey. I'll just assume you all did it. but some of the ways they asked the questions were, here are some categories in wellness. How well do you feel this in your city? Do you relate to this in your city? So some areas in our city that were rated as being very high in well-being were safety and security. So people in our city feel like we have high levels of safety, high levels of security, high levels of mental health. Now, there was a little bit of a disconnect in the reporting on mental health, which basically meant, I think people at large are doing poorly, but the people I know are doing well. So that was a disconnect between, like, no, my people are okay, but I think people out there are really struggling. And I think that that's really tapping into something of the collective of struggle that, you know, a lot of people are facing right now. We also ranked really high in living standards in the city. People like living here. They feel like the living standards here are high across the city. And in education, that we have great access to education here in our city, which are wonderful bits of feedback. Now, that was the highest rating, meaning that it exists currently at a high rate. Like, already are enjoying these things. Now, the second question they asked is, what are the most important to you? Whether or not you have it, what do you value? And safety and security was the number one as well. And I think that that allows us to say, hey, here's what people value, and guess what? They're getting it here. That's a total health and wellness win. The next one was mental health, also highly rated as value, as well as highly rated as something that we enjoy by living in the city. Physical health was rated as something that we really value, but it was not rated as high, at least not the highest categories in access, which I think points us to what we already identified as a committee, that we want to look at open space and parks and trails and how do people get outside in order to access physical health, resources to seniors and activities that way. So I think part of the Hatch Park redevelopment, especially inviting the rec center to participate with that if they end up doing that, really helps us say, like, hey, we asked citizens what they wanted, and here's what we provided, and there's a direct connection between those things.
One of the things, when we talked about this at the senior lunch bunch and asked them to participate, one of the things that was brought up is, can we get a pool? Because, well, they really want to be able to go swim in the pool.
We
and
also
exercise.
Want that. So as a city, we've invited South Davis Rec Center to participate in the redevelopment of Hatch Park to include a community pool, and that has not been formalized that it is for sure happening, but the interest and invitation from North Salt Lake City is in place. Is that a fair way for me to describe that, Ken?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay. I will report Wednesday is senior lunch bunch. And I'm going to be reporting back to
Great.
Them on this stuff. Can you send me
Yes.
information?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so then the fourth one that was rated as highest in importance was living standards, which again was a great match because we value living standards and we enjoy high living standards here in the city. Now, there was one area that was identified as a red zone in well-being, meaning that it received a very low rating, and it creates, okay, so there's this typology of like, what do you value and what do you enjoy? And those can be in a disconnect. So what do you value but ours is rated really low? That is considered the red zone. And there was one area for that, and it was local environmental quality. And that, I think, tracks with where we live. And we live near freeways. We live near refineries. And so there is... And the gravel pit. Yeah, there is... A lot of those industries are beyond the scope of what a municipality deals with, but that does not mean that the municipality cannot take action to mediate some of those effects or to participate in the larger organizations that do monitor and support those industries. So that is an area I see of kind of opportunity and consideration as we think about our goals. Like, this is what our residents are saying matters to them and is not going super great in our city. What might we do with regard to that? And I for sure do not have the answer to that, so.
There are two kind of smaller industries that that may somewhat be feeding into that. One of them is Stericycle.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the wastewater treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are still complaints of odor. And mm-hmm. I know neither one of those are totally under control of the city, but... I think it might be more than just the refineries.
So,
and, you know, yeah. The refineries were here before
point.
We were here.
Yeah, just so you know, though, Stericycle is no longer incinerating anything at their facility, so they're gone.
Which is a real win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another area of that was kind of lower in North Salt Lake than it is in many other cities, so we kind of marked lower, was the perception that residents take action in their community, are engaged in their community, and community connection. And I feel like getting that type of feedback that we don't actually, like, I like my neighbors, but I don't really feel connected to my larger community, and I don't really see my community members taking action, I think also offers support for the plans that we're making for things like the celebration events, where it says, like, hey, let's bring the community together, give you a chance to meet other people, feel celebrated in your community, and opportunities for people to take action and to volunteer and participate in what we do in the city. Many indicated that the population growth rate was too fast and that the feelings of the pace of economic development was really divided. So I agree, development in the state, or excuse me, in the city has been very rapid for about the last 15 or 20 years, but we are really hitting the end of that because we have a finite amount of land. And so we're just not developing a Foxborough again, where we're just building and building and building. Most of the development that's happening moving forward is redevelopment. So areas that exist and they have something else on that property now is going to be redeveloped. And so that one, I think, is kind of taking care of itself, but it's important to consider. That's what people think. They think the growth is too fast and the pace of economic development was really divided. What that means is some people think it was good and some people think like it's too fast. Some people think it's just right. Some people think it's too slow. That was across the board. The top concerns for North Salt Lake residents was air quality, where 92% of the respondents said that it mattered as a moderate or major concern for them. Like, that's a phenomenally high rate when we're talking about, like, what matters to you in your city. That was the highest rated item. The next highest rated item was the water supply as a moderate or major concern. Now, this survey was in March. When I hear water supply, I do not interpret that to mean the quality of the water supply. I mean the existence of the water supply. And that, I also think, is evidence of great municipal outreach, where we have been talking to people about flipping their strip, about drought conditions, about being aware of the watershed that we're a part of. And so that concern, I think, is true and one that we share. And then the third one they said was affordable housing, where 75% marked that as a moderate or a major concern. That, again, can create some kind of policy disconnect between population growth rate dissatisfaction, but also we need affordable housing.
Can we go back to water quality? The one thing is, in North Salt Lake, when I first moved here and I went to get a water softener, the plumber told me that North Salt Lake has like the third hardest water of any city in the state. And people I know who have recently moved into North Salt Lake really notice it. They say, oh, the water tastes weird and it's really hard. I don't know that there's anything that the city can do about hardness, because it's not like a municipal water system can soften the water. It's well water, and that's why it's so hard.
Yeah, it's mostly well water. We also have Weber Basin water that sometimes gets used, but yeah, it's mostly well water. And there is not much we can do about it. Yeah, to answer your question.
Okay, so that's the high-level overview. And then the Utah Wellness Project also provides some resources and some ideas of, if your city is concerned about these items, here are some ways you can address that. And so I feel like that's what we can take up at our next meeting when we talk about this and make those plans. I will send out the copy of this to everyone so that you have this. And I would love eventually, not probably until after City Council has gone over it, for this to be on the city website as well. Like, I just think it's such good findings. And the initial year's survey is meant to be a baseline. And then cities go back to this every couple of years, and then they can mark improvement. But we're already starting at a really high rate where people like to live here. And they, I've identified some really clear reasons why they like to do that. And so this just feels like a real win for the city and what we've been doing. So thank you for supporting the project. Are there any questions? Comments? Fascination? I love this stuff.
I love that we had so much participation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We really lobbied the seniors to do this.
So how many did participate in this?
605 respondents.
Oh, okay.
10% of the respondents, so 60, were 70 and older. 13% were 60 to 69. So 60 and older was 23% of the entire respondents. Okay. So that's,
and I'm in there.
That's a really great.
But I only did it once, so.
Any other questions about
the
city?
And they did express their frustration over the train?
That came up in, so there are no specific questions that ask about the train, but at the end there are open-ended questions, and that came up in the comments, but not in any, just kind of a, this is something I wish we could handle, not in a, this is ruining my life in North Salt Lake. But this yeah. is an area that is like hard for us to deal with, and gosh, I wish we could handle it too.
Oh, yeah, go to the Foxborough Facebook page, and then you'll hear all about it.
Yeah, and the city does have some ideas and works in place that can address the trains as well, where we're hoping to have an overpass in the future. That is a really long project.
A very expensive one.
Very expensive. The city won't. Cities can't pay for those things. They're so expensive, so it ends up having to go through the federal government.
Well, the one thing that was pointed out by somebody on the Facebook page was the state's plan down by Hughes RV to do an interchange there. So at least there's a way to get around without going all the way to 4th North in Bountiful. Mm-hmm. So that would be.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's awesome. Okay.
We already talked
about
that.
We actually did six, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
So, any city council update?
For city council, I would just want to update on the Juneteenth and the Pride, which we've talked about, and on the survey. Nope, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you for participating in all the things that you're doing. The summer, we kind of round out a lot of volunteer hours in the city, and so I recognize you have a lot of places you could spend your time, so thanks for sharing it with us.
You're welcome. Okay, any other items of business that we need to cover?
One suggestion.
Yeah.
Which should benefit you and us.
Mike.
I think I heard that you, the next opportunity for this committee to present at the council will be in February. Is that right?
Yeah, it's early 2024, so February or March. Yeah.
So I know that we'll probably want to run through the presentation together as a group when we meet in January. But it looks like there may be opportunities in the next few months. Maybe we could start pulling information together for you, or. Just so that it's not all left to the last month. Just an idea there.
I would appreciate that, but I have to admit, Ken did a lot of that last time for me, so.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and I think we should do it because last time it was more of Ken.
And I was thinking already too, doing it. It's so great to have all that narrative, but there's probably good opportunities to pull some like visual stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that with this document that Wendy created, it's already kind of being tracked. And so as a committee members, one thing we could have in our mind is at all of our meetings, when we're talking about a topic that we think should be included on that annual report, that we say, oh, let's make sure that gets added to this list. So it is ongoing and not waiting until the last minute.
Yep,
that's a great suggestion.
Okay, anything else? Good work tonight. We got a lot done. Okay, can we get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
I'll second that.
Motion and second? At the same time? Okay, good work, guys.
I gave him one, yeah.